Okay. Well, good evening, everyone, and I want to say welcome to our Sunday night service here at Calvary Baptist Church, Powder Springs, and hope everybody's had a great day today. I want to say it's been a great day today all the way around, and we welcome you to our evening service once again, and we enjoyed the service this morning. I hope you did, and we seen that there were some great feedback. We thank you for leaving your comments and just any kind of feedback that you feel of giving and expressing how you feel the service this morning. We appreciate that. I want to thank Brother Allen for being here and singing this morning, and Brother David, and what a blessing that was. And tonight we got Brother Randy playing for us. Got a special in just a few moments, and so we're looking forward to that. And it's a brand new service tonight, and so we are just waiting anxiously for what the Lord may have tonight in this particular service. Again, it's through media, and we're preaching to a camera, and we are coming to you live to your living room, and we're thankful that we have this opportunity. And sometimes I just think, what would it be like if this was, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago? You know, I do not know what we would do, but God has made this provision, and we are so very thankful for that. I do want to pause tonight for a few moments, and we're not going to labor on this, but I do want us to have a special time of prayer for our country. It's become heap upon heap, and what I mean by that is it's the pandemic, but now it's the rioting, the looting. We have, I don't know, maybe a third night, a third day, fourth day, something like that, of it taking place in Atlanta, and it's creeped kind of into the suburbs a little bit. Our authorities, our police force is trying not to allow that to happen. And so I want to have a special time of prayer for that tonight. Our very own Allen, Brother Allen, is called in tonight. He works for the Sheriff's Department. And so he don't know to the full extent of what he's doing tonight and helping with that. But let's pray for Brother Allen, as he's helping along with that, Douglas County and Douglasville. And so we'll be praying for him, praying for just the Atlanta police officers, praying for everyone that is pertaining to that. It's awful, church. It is awful what's taking place. I didn't even watch it yesterday because of how awful it was. I had enough of it. On Friday, looking at it. And so we just need to pray for protection of all of our people, and for Georgia. Pray for our mayor there in Atlanta. And I really commend her for what she did the other night, what she's been doing. She's been making a stand and trying to separate all of this nonsense. And so we are backing her on that. And Governor Kemp and all the rest of them is heap upon heap. There's a lot of things going on, but this is our worship time, and we're not allowing this a time of politics and a time of discuss the world issues. This is a time for preaching and a time for teaching. This is a time of worship. This is a space for grace. This is a time where your blood pressure isn't to rise in a time of anxiety and worry. But this is a place, a time for you to come and receive a word from God, be encouraged and be challenged and changed. And so I do want to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's do continue to remember our church family and our particular needs there. Look at our online bulletin. Stay in tune with those, all of the needs, all of the requests. Again, we are glorying in the Lord, how that God has touched little baby Eddie, Miss Jackie Henderson's great-grandbaby. We praise the Lord for that. Also, we lift up Brother Jamie Dickerson as he is getting ready on Tuesday for his open heart surgery. So we'll be praying for him tonight, that God will touch him in a very mighty, very special way. And again, all of these needs, so many needs. And we have a close friend of ours whose mother is getting ready to cross. She is in hospice care, Miss Karen Pittman. I actually buried her her husband. I buried her dad, and she's wanting me to help bury her mother. And so please remember this prayer request. She's a member of a different church. But God knows all of these needs tonight. He knows every heart, every life, every situation. So tonight we want to spend just a moment in prayer, and then we're going to give it to Brother Randy, and he has a special for us. And we'll just see what the Lord has for us in his word tonight. Heavenly Father, we come tonight in Jesus' name. And Father, we just pause for a moment and we say thank you for the service this morning. Thank you, Lord, for lighting upon us by your sweet Holy Spirit, for speaking to our hearts. But tonight, Lord, as we're safely in your house and others are safely in their houses, Lord, I do pray for Brother Allen and God, as he is serving with the Sheriff's Department, Father, wherever he is, I pray for protection for him and the Sheriff's Department in its entirety, Douglas County. But God, I pray for all of our armed forces, all of our police force, starting, Lord, here in Powder Springs and spanning out, Lord, through our suburbs, our communities in Georgia. God, let it be a wave of calm and a way of stillness, Lord, of all of this crime and looting and rioting, Lord. Let it all stop tonight. Let it be that calming wave all the way through Atlanta. And then, Lord, let it spread through other states and communities. God, we pray for your great grace to do that. Father, only you can do that. We're reminded, Lord, that the world is in the wrong kind of battle. They're trying to change things that, Lord, there'll never be no real resolution. They'll always be trying to change a never-ending battle. It's the cat chasing its own tail. But Father, I pray that men would come to Jesus. Women would come to Jesus. They would surrender their hearts to Jesus. And when a person surrenders their heart to Jesus, they would be that new heart. And then there would be peace. Father, tonight we just pray for everyone that's involved with our armed forces, Lord, all of the ambulance care, God, first responders, Lord, not just the rioting and those pertaining to that, Lord, but even the pandemic and the sick cases. Father, we're not negligent to ask for prayer for them. They need our prayers tonight as well. We pray for Brother Jamie Dickerson, God. We lift him up to you. Touch him, Father. Touch his heart. Touch his mind. Touch his body. Lord, I pray that you would just be with him. Guide the hands of the doctors, God. I pray for a successful heart surgery on Tuesday. Be with Miss Lauren and Rhett and the family, God. Give them peace. Give them comfort. God, they have a church that loves them, praying for them. We know Cochran Ridge is praying for them and other surrounding churches as well. They'll make it through it. We know this. Father, we're just thankful for what you have done. We're thankful for what you're doing now. And we're thankful for what you're going to do. And Lord, we just give you the praise in advance. Meet with us tonight in a very special way, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs he will supply, my thirsty soul he satisfies. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. He says every pain fuels my deepest longing, time and time again.
Yes.
He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all I need. He's all I need. I will not turn to any other. That's Lord. For he's a friend who's closer than any brother.
Amen.
On this friend I can rely to be my strength. As time goes by, he's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. Every pain, and he feels my deepest longing, time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, he's my heart's consolation, he's my everything, and he's all I need. And he's all I need. He's all I'm ever gonna need. Jesus is all I need. And he's all. I've been traveling for Jesus so much of my life. I've been traveling on land and on sea, but I'm counting on taking a trip to the sky, and that will be the last move for me.
Amen.
When I move to the sky, up to heaven on high, what a wonderful trip that will be. And I'm all ready to go, washed in Calvary's flow.
Yes.
And that will be the last move for me. Here I'm bothered with packing each time that I move, and I carry a load in each hand. But I'll not need one thing,
yes,
that I've used in this world.
Amen.
When I move to that heavenly land, see, when I move to the sky, up to heaven on high, what a wonderful trip that will be. In Calvary's flow, and that will be the last move for me. Empty and broken, I came back to him, a vessel unworthy and so scarred by sin. But he did not despair. He started over again.
Amen.
And I bless the day he didn't throw the clay away. Over and over he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions this clay. vessel of honor I am today, and it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. Amen. He is the potter, and I am the clay, molded in his likeness. You see, he wants me to stay. But when I stumble and I fall and my vessel breaks, he just picks up those old pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions this clay, a vessel of honor I am today, and it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. He is the potter, and I am the clay.
Amen.
Molded in his likeness. You see, he wants me to stay. But when I stumble and fall, and my vessel breaks, he just picks up those old pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into
cussing tonight. I tell you, kind of speechless, really. Brother Randy, he keeps surprising me. And you just don't know all he has and he's able to do. And then he asked him if he could sing one. And he sits down with his heart full of the Lord and has three. And appreciate that, Brother Randy. And then had the blessing of walking in tonight and seeing Brother Spence with us. I call him Spence. I know he don't mind that. And then having Brother Spencer coming in and joining in with his dad like that. I know if we were touched like we were touched, I know much more, brother, had touched you as being Papa. But I know that was a proud moment. I know that, my goodness, we were touched through that. I know others were, I'm sure, watching. But also, I want to say publicly congratulations, Brother Spencer, for being a graduate. And I know I told you when I came in, but publicly wanted to say that. You made it. Brother Randy said, last one. And he said, all right. I believe we have a birthday in the family today as well, Miss Ashton. So I'm not sure if she's watching, but I'm sure she can roll back the video. Happy birthday, young lady. We love you, Miss Ash. And so love your family. Appreciate you guys. And what a meaningful moment tonight at Calvary. And let me say this, church. I know you want to be here. It's just a matter of time. So, get your Bibles ready. That's all I can say. Get your Bibles ready. I do want to say two things before we get into God's Word tonight. I'm going to try to keep the message within 30 minutes tonight. But I want to say, number one, when we do get back to Sunday mornings beginning on June 21st, Father's Day, we will continue Facebook Live. Facebook Live. We will have some that will not be with us as we begin back. And we do not want them to miss out on what we have been doing. That would be shorting them out. We don't want to do that. We're going to continue Facebook Live just as you see it, right here in the middle of the aisle. We will, as more people come, we will maneuver this thing around if we have to. We'll hang it from the ceiling if we have to. Drop it on down. We want to make it right. You know, we want everybody to be able to view and not miss out. And so we'll continue the Facebook Live on June 21st, Sunday morning. And those who want to come, you come. Those who do not feel us time, just know that we'll continue Facebook Live. I'll go ahead and also say we haven't made the June bulletin yet, but there will not be Sunday night service. Facebook Live, because that will be Father's Day. And so Sunday morning in person will be our first Sunday back. But Sunday night, no service because of Father's Day. And so remember that coming up in June. And the other thing I forgot, and so maybe I'll mention it later. 1 Samuel chapter number 17 this evening. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And I've learned through my years of preaching that this is not the place to try to remember stuff. If it's there, remember. If it's not, get to it later. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Very familiar area of Scripture. And David's battle with Goliath. You've heard it preached. I've heard it preached. I've preached it many, many times. And I want us to just take a fresh look, if we could, tonight for a few moments at this particular account, this particular occasion of Scripture here. But I do want us to bow for a word of prayer and just give us a time to switch gears, if you would. Heavenly Father, we bow for a moment and say thank you for who you are and for what you do. Lord, we're thankful for Brother Randy and his faithfulness, dear God. Wow, how faithful he is. That's just a reflection of his love for you. Thankful for Brother Spence and Miss Ashton, their family, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd touch them and multiply, Lord, their efforts. Just bless them real good, Lord, and pray that you'll watch over them, keep them safe. Do the same, Father, for the rest of the church. We know you have, we know you will. But I pray for the next few moments that you would use me and help me rightly divide. Holy Spirit, help me communicate the truths of your word to the hearts of your people the way that you put it in my heart. And I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, tonight we're looking at David's battle with Goliath, and that will be my title. If you want to keep that in your minds, David's battle with Goliath. Very familiar story in the Bible. Probably heard it as a little child in Sunday school, and going to hear it again tonight. But we know that in verse number 1 of chapter number 17 that this battle actually took shape. Notice in verse number 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. And were gathered together at Shokot, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shokosh and Azekah and Ephes Damim, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. Drop down to verse number 4 if you would. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. We won't take the time tonight to go through all of his artillery and all of his armory, but we do know that he was a really big guy. He was a giant. And it mentions all of these things all the way down to verse number 7. And it sums it up with his staff of his spear, his weaver's beam. And then in verse number 8, we see that he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel. Look in verse number 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This is the backdrop and this is the story. We have these two teams, so to speak. We have the Philistines on one side, and we have Israel on the other side, and we have the Valley of Elah in the middle. We have this big guy, this giant in the middle in the Valley of Elah, and he's standing there with all of his gadgets and all of his artillery. In my mind's eye, he's this big old football player. He has these big shoulder pads with spikes on them, a big football helmet with a row of spikes in the middle. That's not the way it is, but that's the way I view it. And he has this big weaver beam, and he's out there, and he's taunting. And he's out there, and he's chanting. And he's saying, give me a man, somebody on God's side. Give me somebody that can come and take me. And whoever it is that can do so, we will be your servants. Well, the Bible says that in verse number 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So Israel was living a time of fear. They were greatly afraid. And so that leads me to my point tonight, that here comes David, this little shepherd's boy, and he actually engages in this battle with Goliath. And we're going to speed things up tonight because I want to actually look at this battle with Goliath that David engaged with. Number one tonight, and you know the story, this giant had been here in this valley of Elah, had been taunting Israel, and Israel was dismayed and greatly afraid. We know that. Saul did nothing about it. Israel did nothing about it. David was delivering food supplies. He left his sheep. He was delivering food supplies. Notice down in verse number 19. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as to the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. And so all of these things were taking place. Okay, Israel was not winning. They were fearful. They were dismayed. They were losing. Nobody was defeating Goliath. And now David sees what's taking place. I want you to notice in verse number 23, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them, the same words of taunting and the same words of ridicule. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Verse number 26, jump down and read. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So small David is saying this. Who is this guy? That's more than any man had said as of yet. Verse number 28, one of David's brothers starts to ridicule David. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou that art come down, that thou mightest see the battle. And so his brother was angry with him. Oh, why are you coming down here? You just left your few little sheep. You're just trying to spy in on the battle. You're not going to do anything. You're just a little shepherd boy. There's nothing that you could possibly do. You have a naughty heart. You're not a fighter. You're a little shepherd boy. But I want you to notice in verse number 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You see, my first point tonight is simply this. When it comes to David's battle with Goliath, is that he's seen a cause there. He's seen a cause. And point number one is this. David was in the right battle. Or David desired to engage in the right battle. David's battle with Goliath was the right kind of battle. He said again in verse number 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You see, David came on the scene. And David said, I see Israel over here suffering. And I see the enemy over here winning. And I see the giant in the middle taunting. Why isn't anybody doing anything? David says, is there not a cause? There needs to be somebody. Someone needs to rise to the occasion and do something. In this battle tonight, we're talking about David versus Goliath. We see that David entered the right kind of battle. He's seen a cause here. It was a battle of good and evil. It was the Lord's battle, is what I'm trying to say. David was entering in the battle because he was defending the people of Almighty God. I want to say tonight that it was not a political battle that David was entering in. It wasn't a social battle that David was entering into. But it was the Lord's battle that David was entering into tonight. He says, is there not a cause? You see, a lot of people, even tonight, as we're preaching this message and as we're speaking to you, there are riots taking place. There's looting taking place. There's people killing and murdering possibly taking place. And really the basis for what they're doing is, it has to do with the police, and it has to do with racism, and it has to do with all of those things, and the color of your skin. And I want to say this, that to a degree there's something to fight for there. But at the end of the day, that is the wrong kind of battle to be in. You will never win that battle. You will never win the battle of racism. You will never win this political battle that we're in today with the presidency and all the left wing and the right wing and politics and all of those things. Socialism. You'll never win those kind of battles, you see. But David, he was in the right kind of battle. He was in the Lord's battle, you see. And tonight I wonder what kind of battle we're in. I wonder if we're all wrapped up with the political battles of this world. Some of the people you talk to that are most miserable are those who follow politics all day, every day. I'm not saying that we're not to be up to speed on who's who and what's what, but what I am saying is if we're watching politics more than we're picking up this book, we're in the wrong kind of battle. And what I'm saying is if we're fighting for the color of our skin more than we're fighting for the Lord of this book, we're in the wrong kind of battle. We're supposed to be in the Lord's battle. And when we're in the Lord's battle and we're all about the Great Commission and we're going to the highways and hedges and we're sharing our faith and we're preaching the gospel and we're evangelizing the world, we're telling the world that Jesus saves, then a heart will be changed. And when a heart is changed, then peace will be bestowed. And that heart that's changed, and then when peace begins to be bestowed, then it will share peace to other hearts, and other hearts will change. That's how riots are stopped. That's how racism is stopped. That's how all of the political controversies are stopped. We wouldn't even need politicians if everyone gets saved. We wouldn't even need any kind of presidents if everyone got saved. We wouldn't need any kind of restraints in governments if everyone would get saved. You see? If everyone got saved, it'd be heaven. David was in the right kind of battle. David's battle with Goliath in verse number 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? He went and he saw the armies of God. And what he saw was that God's people were suffering. He said, you know what? I think I could insert myself there. And I can fight this giant. I could insert myself here and I could be of a help. And let me ask you a question tonight. You tell me where you could be most effective. Could you be most effective out there protesting? Or could you be most effective praying for God's people? And the answer to that question is, you could be most effective praying for God's people. You could be most effective praying for the protesters. You could be most effective praying for the president. And what I'm trying to paint the picture of is that the battle is here and the battle is staying on the Lord's side. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" There may be causes out there, friend. And listen, I do not agree with that white cop and what he did to that man. And he ought to pay for what he did. But I also do not agree that I ought to live the rest of my life trying to fight that cause. Because ultimately, what will fix that situation is for people to get their heart right with Jesus and in return know the peace of God and share the peace of God. They're missing the cause. David says, "Is there not a cause?" He said, "I can insert myself over here with the people of God and I can fight Goliath." Number two tonight, David was in the right kind of battle, but David recognized his source for battle. Look at verse number 45. "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." You see, David recognized that his source of victory, his source of strength, it didn't have anything to do with his size. And this is where a lot of people, actually, their maturity either stops or they backslide. And I'm not exempt from this. Because a lot of people look at things on the surface level, or they look at things in light of, or in the realm of the natural versus the supernatural. And if David were to look at Goliath in the realm of the natural, then he wouldn't even have accepted the challenge. He wouldn't even have went to the challenge. I mean, made reference of the challenge. He would have just delivered his the lunches to his brothers and went back home. But you see, he recognized that his source isn't within his own ability, but it's with the ability of the Lord. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David recognized that the battle is the Lord's. And you see, you and I in life, we, as I preached this morning, we live our life and we try to face our own giants and we try to beat our own enemies, spiritually speaking, and the unseen enemy, the devil, and our own hurts and habits and hang-ups. We try to face those things and we try to beat those things and we challenge those things and we fail miserably. And then we come to the reality that, you know, it's not within our own ability to fight those things. We're not going to have victory within our own abilities and strengths. We have to recognize it's through the Lord that we have these strengths and we have these abilities. It's through Him we overcome. There has to be a surrender. I think about many times the elephant at the circus who's chained to a post. And if you've ever seen the elephant who's chained to the post, you know that by looking at it, man, this great big adult elephant could just break loose at any time. So what's the problem? Well, if you've ever watched documentaries or know anything about circus elephants, you know as a baby elephant, Dumbo, the baby elephant is chained to that post whenever it's not being trained. And when it's trained, it's being trained, then it's chained to that post. And so through the years, it has mentally grown attached to the belief it can't escape. As a child, as a baby elephant, it couldn't escape, possibly. And through the years and years, now as an adult elephant, but because it has been chained for so long, now it's an adult. It believes that it cannot escape. Listen, it is a little chain. That big adult elephant can snap that chain and take off. But it has itself convinced that it cannot because of how things have always been. And I want to say tonight to the church, and I preach it to myself, that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm no longer a slave to sin or the devil. He has broke my chains and I am free. And if I struggle to anything in life, I'm like that elephant. You know, I'm like that elephant because I believe that I'm still chained. And it's not because Jesus has not set me free. I know I'm free. And you're free. And if you're chained tonight, it's not that you haven't been set free. You're free. You're free to go. You were like that adult elephant. You can break those chains. But you are convinced that you cannot. Because life has just been the way it's always been. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You see, when it comes to this battle, David versus Goliath, David was in the right kind of battle, the Lord's battle, but then David recognized his source for the battle. Church, every day that we arise, it has to be God's strength. The battle's too big for us. This world needs to understand that the battle's too big for the world. Georgia needs to understand that this protest and this riot's too big for Georgia. This world needs to understand this pandemic's too big for the world. Whether it's a real pandemic or whether it's a conspiracy or not, believe what you want to believe. God has a way of bringing us to a place of realizing that we need Him more than our own sufficiency. David recognized that. He looked that giant up in the face and said, look here, you're coming to me with all your stuff. I may be this little old guy, but I recognize where my strength comes from. It ain't coming from me. In church, I want to say this. When you arise in the morning and you face your day tomorrow, you look the devil in the eyes and say, listen, I may be struggling with some things in my life, but today is a new day. I, by the grace of God, am different. I am not who I used to be, but praise God, I'm not who I'm going to be. Today is going to be a different day. By the grace of God, I'm going to inch my way along, and I'm going to be different today. I'm not going to focus on tomorrow. I'm not going to focus on the past. The Bible says sufficient is the day of the evil thereof. The things of tomorrow will take care of tomorrow. I'm going to focus on today. Let today be a day of victory, church. Let tomorrow be a day of victory tomorrow. And if we're going to do that, we have to understand the battle is the Lord's. David's battle with Goliath, he recognized his source. Look at verse 46. He was definite. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. Church, some of you need to say, this day some things are going to go. This day I'm going to have victory. David said, he was definite, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. Whoo! How about that? This little old thing's going to take that big old thing's head off? Huh? That's courage. David, he knew where his strength came from, and he was definite. This day, I'm taking your head off. Wow. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. He said, I'll feed your flesh to the birds. Man. And to the wild beast of the earth. What makes David don't think them beasts are going to eat him? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I just wanted to give a refresher tonight concerning David's battle with Goliath. David recognized his source for battle. In church, the battle tonight is not yours. What you're facing tonight is not yours to face. What I'm facing tonight is not mine to face. What the blind man faced in his life this morning was not his to face. It's not mine to face. That's the problem. That's what happens in life. When problems come, we try to face it. We try to work it out. And I want to tell you again, it's a whole lot easier preached than lived. But the problems we face are his problems. And that leads me to my third point. I got four tonight. This is my third. And we see David's victory caused rejoicing. David was in the right kind of battle. David recognized his source for battle. But David's victory caused rejoicing from battle. Look at verse number 52. So David killed Goliath. He cut his head off. Look at verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley into the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sheram, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. You know what happened when David enlisted in the right kind of battle and David recognized his source for battle? You want to know what happened? It caused victory. It caused others to rejoice. I want you to notice in verse number 52, the position of the men of Israel, the people of God. In verse 52, and the men of Israel and of Judah, they arose because of David's victory. So if they arose, that means that they were down. Because David got this victory, it caused them to get up. You'll be surprised in life how often your victories can cause others encouragement. You'll be surprised in life how a smile on your face, how to hear about good things happening in your life, how that you having victories in your life, how that, and you sharing that with others, how that can cause others encouragement, cause them to arise from a state of depression and despair. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose. They were discouraged. They were dismayed. Notice this, and shouted. They shouted. I wonder how long it's been since they shouted. It was a shout of victory. It was a victor's shout. The giant was dead. Israel had a victory. When was the last time you had a victory shout? Praise the Lord. I didn't sin like I always sin every day in that area. Glory to God, the devil gets me every day in that one area. But praise the Lord, he didn't get me today in that area. Woo! Victory shout. I don't care if it's one victory a day. Listen, every victory deserves a shout. These men, this was a victory. And because of David's victory over Goliath, the Bible says, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted. Church, listen. Rejoice over those areas you have victory in, even if it's a little victory. Go after those victories. Little victories lead to big victories. Church, we need victory today. We need those victories. Shout on those victories. Rejoice of those victories in your life. Don't you think one second you've got to have some big, huge victory in your life to rejoice or think that you're maturing in your spiritual life. Any victory is a good victory. The Bible says that the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted, but then the Bible says, and pursued the Philistines. Man, that's moving forward. That's moving forward, church. Because of David's victory, they arose from their depressed position. They shouted the victor's shout because of David's victory. And then they pursue, they move forward. Things are happening. When one person experiences a victory, it's contagious. It'll cause others to be encouraged. It'll cause others to go on to want to achieve victory. And it also encourages others to want to move forward in their Christian lives. And that's what we see in verse number 52. David's victory caused rejoicing. We're talking about David's battle with Goliath tonight. Just a refresher. One more thing and we're done. Verse number 54, I want you to notice something. David's battle remembrances. And so after this battle was won, and after the camp rejoiced, we see in verse number 53 that the children of Israel, they actually spoiled the Philistines, meaning they chased them, and they took their possessions. Praise the Lord. It wasn't children of Israel getting their possessions took this time. Children of Israel wasn't being tread upon this time. They were treading on them. They were now saying, don't tread on me. But verse number 54, the Bible says, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. Look at this. But he put his armor in his tent. He's talking about Goliath's armor. Go back and look at it. Most commentators pretty much are all in unison. Say that David, and this is really pretty much what they're talking about, primarily in reference to Goliath's sword. Goliath had a sword. That David kept his sword. In fact, there's other references that this tent here may be another word for tabernacle. And in other books in the Old Testament, as these tents and tabernacles were erected, and the high priest had his garments that was used, the ephod and all, that this actual sword was found there. At any rate, in this verse, David put his armor, Goliath's armor, his sword, in his tent. Why did he do that? Think about the series of events. David was on the scene. He seen a cause. He joined the Lord's battle. He was in the right battle. Then David recognized his source of strength. It was the Lord. David had victory in this battle, and it caused others to rejoice. But then David said, I'm going to keep something for me to remind me of this battle, of future battles. I want to say this tonight as we close. You know, David, this wasn't David's last battle. David had other battles. In fact, Goliath had some family members down the road that David had to face as an older man. In fact, David almost died fighting these other giants, and he had some mighty men to back him up. You and I will have other battles down the road to face. David had Goliath's sword, and I'm sure there must have been times where David may have been discouraged. Maybe he needed encouragement, and maybe if this was, at face value, if this was a tent, maybe there were times where he crawled in that tent and he needed encouragement, and he'd uncover the blankets in the back and, oh yeah. That's right. Look at that sword. That's something God did for me. Church, I don't know what you're facing tonight. You may have a problem tomorrow, but I'm sure God has allowed you to conquer things this big yesterday, times in the past. God has allowed me to conquer things in my past this big. Goliath's sword, I'm sure, was at least this big. I know his weaver's beam was bigger. God has trophies of grace. You have them in your past. I have them in my past. We all will have battles to face in the future. Maybe David had Goliath's sword, his armor in his tent, because there would be future times that he needed to be reminded of victories from the past. Let me just say this in conclusion. On a personal level, I ain't saying too much, but somebody gave me a card today. Spoke words of encouragement. I got it in my Bible. And you know who you are, and I just want to say thank you. Church, you have been so good to me and all along the way. But I just want to say that at certain times, God allows certain things to fall on you just to remind you, just to speak to your heart, to let you know God's still using you. He has a work for you. The battle, David and Goliath. Father, we thank you. We love you. I've delivered my soul today. Lord, the ministry has continued on through our wonderful musicians we have here, sound, audio, video, staff, Lord. I'm thankful for them. We've had church here, Lord, in these 2 months. We've tried to bring it into the living room of our church people, our family. I pray tonight, Lord, that something was said. I pray that in the entirety of today that your word was delivered through song this morning and tonight. Hearts were helped. Lives were changed. Directions were given. And I pray in the next few moments as we give invitation, if someone doesn't know you personally, tonight will be the night that they will get saved. In Jesus' name, amen. This is our virtual invitation. If you need to pray.